Thank you. Because this is the season that we remember the greatest gift that all of us can ever receive. Not just the gift that we receive from each other, from friends, from family, but the ultimate gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And for all of us together this morning to come and say, thank you, Lord. Lord, we've been in this study for now our 8th session. Continue to teach us how to pray with the example of Mary. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the 8th message that we've been looking at, Can You Hear Me Now, on prayer. And we've gone through a number of people. Last Sunday, we looked at Zechariah. Today, we're going to look at Mary. So let's read the story of Mary, at least one part of the story of Mary, in Luke chapter 1. Please follow along as I read. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of the Lord will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. If you recall from last Sunday, what I said was the end of the Old Testament is the book of Malachi, and the beginning of the New Testament being Matthew and Luke. Really, there was a 400-year gap. Scholars tell us that this 400 years is called the 400 silent years. It means that there was no prophecy. There was no king that is from the line of David, if you will. There was no Bible. There was no priest. There was no government of Israel, because they were just being slaves, first to the Assyrians, then to the Babylonians, then to the Persians, and keep on and on. And now they're subject to the Romans. And so there was no big revelation. But then, at the beginning of the time of Jesus, there's a flurry of activity, a flurry of appearances by the angel. There was the appearance to Zechariah, the appearance to Mary, the appearance to shepherds, the appearance to the wise men. All these appearances seem to just kind of converge at this proper time. And so we look at, last Sunday, the appearance to Zechariah. Then this Sunday, today, we look at the appearance to Mary. Next Sunday is our joint service. The week after, the end of the year, we'll look at the appearance to Joseph. Why? Because these are so pivotal. Because I do believe that God appears to all of us if we are ready to hear. So we had 2 appearances. Last Sunday was Zechariah. Today is Mary. And there are a lot of similarities between the 2 appearances. Let's look at some of them. So number one, it was supernatural, right? Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. So it's like something all of a sudden happened, and it's same as Mary. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. the Lord is with you. So it's supernatural. Initial reaction, Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. And for Mary, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. The third is, don't be afraid. The angel said the exact same thing to both of them. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Do not be afraid, Mary. So there's still similarities. The fourth wonder was a birth announcement. You're going to have a son, Zechariah. You're going to have a son, Mary. But not only that, this son's name was actually given. One, Mary should call his name Jesus. Zechariah, you should call his name John. But not only were names given, description of who they will become was also given. You have unique sons. Okay, so this son will be in the line of Elijah. That would be John. And then Mary's son would be in the line of David. These are all given. And so, in a way, it's a really wonderful revelation to both of them. And both of them had questions. And this is where we're going to dwell a little bit of time. So Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure that this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. You recall from last Sunday, the question that Zechariah asked was a question of surety. How can I be really sure that this is what's going to happen? We dwelt on this last Sunday, and I began by saying the most important thing that happened was Zechariah was already praying for a child. But of course, if you keep praying and asking God for something, you start to look at your situation and you say, wait a minute, more and more, the time is moving on, advancing. We're getting older. My wife is getting older. It's not happening. Not happening. But it was very interesting that the angel said, your prayer has been answered. Apparently, there was a prayer that went up to God, and God was answering that prayer. Mary was not praying at all. She was probably, from scholars tell us, maybe 16 years old, possibly, because they married very young at that time. Most probably it was arranged marriage. And she says, how can this be? For Zechariah, how can I be sure that this is what God's going to do? For Mary, she was asking about the mechanics of it. How can it happen? Because I'm not married. I haven't had any, you know, sexual relationship with any men. How is that going to be possible? And we got to look at this question. Because oftentimes, we pray to God, but in reality, do we trust God when we pray? We say we trust God, but so often, we do not trust Him to see Him see the thing go through. So we say we trust God for our daily food, but then we're very preoccupied with our work, and we're scared when we may be laid off. We are scared when we don't get the promotion. We're angry when our coworkers are not cooperating, etc., etc., etc. We say we trust God for our children, but we work very hard to help God. And we say to God, God, if they don't go to the top five schools in the country, then you are not blessing my child. We try to determine what is the right thing for God. We say we trust God for our future, but we spend all our time worrying about the future. Many times we say we trust God, but in reality it is lip service to God. I trust God, but I don't think He's going to really perform. I trust God, but I think I trust myself better. What if the call to trust God is to trust God in the impossible? What if we say we trust God for our daily food, but we lose our jobs or our ability to work? It's much harder, isn't it? We say we trust God for our children, but our children are going astray, not following God. Now you have to say, I have absolutely no control of the situation. And my trust in God becomes more raw, becomes very painful. but yet begins to become deep. We say we trust God for our future, but what if everything is crumbling around us? Our health is failing. Our finances may not be where they are. Nothing seems to be working. And all we have is trust in God and absolutely no control over our lives. That's when the rubber meets the road, when we say we trust God. I've been mentoring a young man in his 40s. Can you believe that? I say a young man now in his 40s. And he's telling me, he's trying to plan his life. And it's a very good job of doing it. In his 40s, he's paid off his house. And his three kids, getting ready for college and everything. He wants to be a missionary. But he's a very high position right now, so he's able to save a lot of money. So he said, Pastor, I met with my financial advisor, and I've been planning to see if I can retire now so I can go to missions work. I said, and he says, I met with my financial planner and, trying to arrange college and all that kind of stuff. And then he said, you have a financial background. He's talking about me. He says, I want to run the numbers by you, And I said, the Lord kind of said to me, very, very interestingly, the Lord said, hey, if you don't have God, you need a financial advisor. When you have God, you only need God. And I said, don't need to plan to the penny. Never know what's going to happen. Could be an economic downturn, could be a health downturn. Doesn't matter. When we say we trust God, to the rawest form, even though we do not know what's going to happen. That was a hard thing for him to listen to, but yet it is the most important thing. You see, God is very different. God does not show us the path from here, the seven steps that will take us to the other side, and say, look, do you see this whole line? There, see what's on the other side. But not only the other side, see all the steps where you need to take, and then get there. Okay, so now will you follow? In fact, that's what Zechariah was asking. How can I be sure that we're going to arrive there? God does not do things like that because he wants us to learn to trust him. You make the first step, and he will show you the next one. To trust God is the hardest thing to do. We can't see him. We can't feel him. We can't touch him. In fact, we cannot see his bank account. It's not visible wealth that we can see. So if somebody comes to you and says, hey, do you know you have a very rich relative? Oh, really? Who? And how rich? Well, he lives in Beverly Hills, in the most expensive part of Beverly Hills. Oh, okay, so I can go there and find out. He drives his $500,000 car. Oh, I can see that. And he walks around with a lot of wealth. Oh, I can see that. Oh, I see his company. I can see all of that as evidence that he is rich. But God says, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, but we don't see it. But of course, he owns everything in our lives. But yet, he doesn't flaunt it. It's interesting that God often says, trust me. Don't trust yourself. Some people tell me, he says, Pastor, I don't need anybody. I'm an independent guy. And I don't need anybody. I'm a self-made person. Self-made man. Self-made woman. But in reality, is anybody self-made? If you got up this morning, you're able to brush your teeth, you're able to change your clothes, you're able to eat your food, how many people have you depended to be able to get to that point? You depend on the power to give you the heat. You depend on power to be able to do everything in your life. You depend on people who are farming to be able to eat. You depend on gas to be able to drive, etc., etc., etc. So there's no such thing as a self-made person, isn't it? But we have this illusion that we don't need God. That's why God is always pushing us to say, look at what I've done as a basis. So we depend on other people. Thomas, can you move the slide? Next slide. I don't know why it's not moving. So we go back to history. God says, remember what happened. Now you remember Moses, right? Moses, in front was the Red Sea. Behind them were the enemies. And around Moses were all the people grumbling, crying out to him and saying, you brought us here to die. What did God say? God says, I want you to raise your staff and the Red Sea would divide and you will walk on dry ground. That was the Red Sea. It was dry ground before the first step happened. 40 years later, they're now crossing the Jordan River. And now it's Joshua's turn. The instruction is a little bit different in Joshua 3:15. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Now this is different, right? Step first into the water and it will become dry ground. If the question is, how sure, God, that it's going to be dry ground? I'm not going to step on it. I want to see dry ground before I step on it. God says, no, you step on it, it will be dry ground. I've said this illustration before, and I'm going to say it again. If you ever watch the Indiana Jones movies, this was the second Indiana Jones movie. And Harrison Ford was running away from all these people with turbans on and with big swords. And he's running in this mountain, in this cave, and he got to the edge of the mountain. He got to the edge of the mountain. It was a cliff going down. He looks forward. It's a cliff going down. He turns his back and he sees all these army rushing after him. And he says, what's happened? He says, there's supposed to be a bridge here. I don't see the bridge. The map says there's a bridge. I know there's a bridge. There's no bridge in front of me. And then, the most wonderful way of looking at faith, he closes his eyes. He takes a very deep breath and he puts his foot forward and the bridge appears. When I watched that, I said, that is what faith is all about. It takes Steven Spielberg, a Jew, to be able to show us how we as Christians should have faith. But that is true, isn't it? Many times, you step forward, the bridge will be there. You never step forward, you'll never ever see the bridge. Jesus says, do not worry then. What will you eat? What will you drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, if you don't have God, they eagerly seek all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The trust that's being called for by God is a full trust in God. God says, you seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well. Mary asked, how can it be? How can this happen? And we have two verses, one from Luke and one from Matthew. Said to two different people. The Luke verse is said to Mary. The Matthew passage is said to Joseph. So the angel replied in Luke 1:35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. Now, in the same angel's appearance to Joseph, he said this, as he considered this, Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So how do we understand this? Now, there are people who actually said that the Holy Spirit was a sperm and that Mary contributed her egg, and therefore the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. Now, if you follow that train of thought, Jesus would be half man and half God. But we don't believe that. What we believe is that the whole implant of the baby was in a borrowed womb. And so Mary was the carrier, but what is conceived in is from the Holy Spirit. So the whole fertilized egg, if you will, was made whole inside. We're going to listen to a song later about Mary's prayer. It's talking about vacancy, which is Mary saying, okay, I'll contribute my womb. I don't know how it's going to be done, but it's okay. Because Jesus is fully God. Jesus also fully man. And so formed within Mary was a completed fertilized egg. And in 9 months, it was a delivery process. And so Jesus was also fully man. Fully tempted like you, like me, yet fully without sin, because he learned full obedience and full submission. Did Mary understand any of this? I doubt it. Like I said, she was a 15, 16-year-old peasant girl. Most women at that time were not educated. Most women did not enter the temple. Compare that to Zechariah, where he was one of the priests. And he was in duty at the time. And by lot, he went into the Holy of Holies. Now, the Holy of Holies is the place where the Jews believed that God resided in there. And so there will be a very thick curtain, if you imagine a very thick curtain behind me. And only one priest can enter, and only once a year. And so the group of priests were preparing. Now, you also know the rules of entry. When a priest enters, if the priest is with any sin at all, he would die on the spot, because remember, that's holy place. And so tradition tells us the priest who is assigned to go in will have to wear his robe, and what they do is they put little bells on his robe. Why? Because if he's moving, the people outside can hear that he's still alive. But what if he dies inside? How do you pull him out? Well, tradition tells us they tie a rope around his leg. And when he dies on the spot, the people on the outside just pulls him out. And so you got to be very spiritually prepared. You can't just go in casually and say, I'm just going to go inside. Because when you go inside, you die on the spot. And so imagine Zechariah, who was already an upright man, had all these things in him to be the righteous servant for God. So the lesson today is really, it doesn't matter who you are. God can call any of us. And you can say, well, the guy on the stage is the pastor. Well, he's the one being called. I'm not called. No way. God can call a 15, 16-year-old virgin. The key is not in the calling. The key is in the response. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left him. She did not understand what this calling meant. And you know, even when Jesus was already in ministry, there was a time when Mary and Some of Jesus' other brothers were outside. Brothers and sisters were outside when Jesus was ministering in a house. And then they wanted to bring him home. Why? Because he was an embarrassment to the family. And to wit, the people on the inside said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are calling you. And Jesus turned to them and says, who are my mother and my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father are my mother and my brothers. So Mary probably did not fully understand who he was. And remember Mary on the cross and Jesus entrusting his earthly mother to John the Beloved. But when you get to Acts chapter 1, Mary had turned from mother to disciple. She was in that upper room with all the other disciples because now she realized that the baby she was carrying was really God. Nothing has changed in the last 2,000 years, church. You want to see great things? Don't help God. Learn to submit to God. Nothing has changed. If you have so much knowledge, you think you don't need God, then you won't be able to see what God is doing. But if you learn to back off, God will do his work. There's a song that I played here before during this time. It's called Mary, Did You Know? Did you know that a baby born is going to be the ruler of the world? As I was looking for the right version, I accidentally came upon this song. And it's called Be Born in Me by Francesca Battistelli. And this song she was the one who composed the song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. I'd like us to close the service with this song. It's going to be played and the words are going to be up there. Thomas, you can prepare it. And be her. Listen as her and her response to God.
Is the shadow.
has to be born in us, so that the power of God can come through to you and to me. Let's all stand. Lord, we thank you so much for the example of Mary, a young girl, uneducated, with nothing as far as lineage is concerned, no pedigree, it just with a heart that says, I am willing. I am willing, Lord. I am the Lord's servant. May we learn that, Lord, for each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us, especially in this season as we remember the Son of God being born for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.